From the rail to your radio, this is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Authentic and John Velasquez have the lead as they come down to the 16th pole. Tis the Law still trying to get him. Authentic, Tis the Law, here's the buyer. Authentic has won the Kentucky Derby.
Gamine in the final furlong, now at the 16th pole. Gamine, John Velasquez rolling on home to win the Breeders' Cup. Filly and mare sprint all. Gamine.
Welcome to the Equine Forum.
Swiss Skydiver digs in at the rail. Authentic on the outside. These two putting on a show. The Derby winner in the filly. Swiss Skydiver inside. Authentic outside. They're nose to nose. All the way to the wire. And it is going to be a photo finish.
Here's Whitmore striding forward for the lead in the final furlong of the Breeders' Cup Sprint. What a day in the career of this 7-year-old. Whitmore, Errod Ortiz Jr. have won the Breeders' Cup Sprint.
Now, here's Anthony Stabile.
Good morning and Happy New Year, HRN Nation. Welcome to the Equine Forum here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. I'm the Big A, Anthony Stabile, filling in for the vacationing Baron of the Backstretch, Mike Penna, as we kick off 2021 with the show that launched the network, Equine Forum, here on HRRN. Hope everybody got their new year off on the right foot. Had plenty of racing action from across the country yesterday, all the way from Aqueduct to the great race place, Santa Anita. Plenty of good action. We saw the first points race of the year as far as the road to the Kentucky Derby is concerned yesterday here at Aqueduct with the Jerome Capo Kane. Very impressive front-running effort, an 84 buyer speed figure. And when the calendar turns, not that we don't have plenty of great two-year-old racing, right? Bobby Newman on race day actually pointed out, or was it the weekend stakes preview? I don't remember. At this point, this week's been a little bit of a blur between the holidays and everything going on. There were 16 points races across the world for the 147th Kentucky Derby, which is just around. It's amazing, you know, getting through 2020. We're just 4 months from the Kentucky Derby this year. And there's already been 16 races in 2020 for this year's Derby. Again, had the Jerome yesterday here in New York. Today, life is good. Is he the next Bob Baffert's horse of a lifetime? We'll find out, I guess, in part today in that sham with some more Kentucky Derby points on the line. He'll stretch out the two turns for the first time. And I feel like once the new year comes, the attention turns to the Kentucky Derby, which is, you know, obviously one of the great things about the sport, how we love our Kentucky Derby. And attention almost immediately. My Christmas tree's still up. And there's plenty of Derby talk to go around. And we'll have a lot of Derby talk on the show today. The return of calling all three-year-olds, speaking of Bobby Newman. We'll hear from Bobby later on in the program. The Force is presented by Spendthrift Farm. We're going to have a guy who's been a bit of a mentor to me, especially in my younger days, Steve Haskin. I mean, you think of three-year-olds in the Kentucky Derby Trail. I think a lot of people who love our sport think of Steve Haskin. Steve will talk to us. We had a couple of calls this week on the BrisNet.com concerning the Kentucky Derby, as you would expect. But more specifically, how some of us, Ed DeRosa, of course, hosts that show with me, how we go about looking for our Derby horse, if you will. I figured, who better to ask than Steve Haskin, who's been covering the Derby for the better part of four decades. If not more. So we'll talk to Steve about that later on in the show. But I think it's funny how as soon as the calendar turns, we turn to, we look down the trail, head down to Louisville for the Kentucky Derby. And I think this year more so than ever, after an unusual season last year, with the Derby back in its first Saturday in May spot, I think it's going to be a very special Kentucky Derby this year. And looking forward to getting on the trail. Already on the trail here in New York, continuing on the trail over the next 4 months. We have a fun show for you today. Billy Badgett, the executive director of South Florida Racing Operations for the Stronach Group, is going to join us. We'll hear from my friend Naja Thompson, who was just recently appointed the executive director of the New York Thoroughbred Breeders, and he is a board member at the New York Racing Association now. Be good to talk to Naja. I remember Naja's first days at NYRA, and now Naja's over with the New York Thoroughbred Breeders and on the board of the New York Racing Association. Recently retired racetrack announcer Keith Jones from Parks. Keith called the races at Parks for 33 years. You know, I was thinking about this the other day. After Tom Durkin, Marshall Cassidy, and probably Bullet Bob Meyer from Yonkers, Keith Jones is probably the guy that I've heard to call the most races in my life. And I think a lot of us can say that. You know, I'm 43 years old. I think a lot of guys and gals in that age bracket. Keith Jones was a mainstay down there. And with John Curran from Delaware, recently retired, and now Keith, Dave Rodman, the last of the Three Musketeers down in the Mid-Atlantic, and Dave calls an amazing race. Dave does a great job. So we'll talk to Keith about his fantastic career. We told you about Steve Haskins and Mike Willman from Santa Anita, friend of the program. We'll definitely we'll talk to him about the three-year-olds. And that leads us to our first poll question of the year. Sent out a tweet this morning reminding people that I would be, excuse me, that snuck up on me, be filling in for the Baron this morning. Steve was nice enough to get involved. Steve Dudenoff, a member of the, he's on the NHC tour each and every year. We have, we've been making an annual wager. We suspended it last year because of the postponement of the Kentucky Derby. I'm sure we'll visit it soon on the call-in show. But the standard bet is, will Bob Baffert win the Kentucky Derby? That is, Steve and I made the bet. I cashed in 2019. My man at DeRosa was able to piggyback onto a beautiful meal at Steve's Piccola Bussola out here in Westbury on Long Island during Belmont Stakes Week. And I'm sure Steve will call in this week or the following week. We'll make the same wager. I present that question to you, HRR Nation. 4 months away from the Kentucky Derby. I didn't feel right giving you the official countdown. The Baron has to do that when he comes back next week. That's his gig. Will Bob Baffert win Kentucky Derby 147? Hit us up at Twitter, at HRRN. Answer the poll question. Will Bob Baffert win this year's Kentucky Derby? I know it's 4 months away, but we'll start it out with the Steve Dudenoff Big A annual wager. And, again, hit us up at HRN on Twitter to answer the question. We'll read some responses later on in the program. All right. Set for a busy, busy morning here on the Equine Forum. When we come back, Billy Bad, that's what his friends call him, Billy Badgett, the executive director of South Florida Operations for the Stronach Group, kicks off 2021 here on the Equine Forum on HRN.
Airdrie Studs Cairo Prince is the leading third crop sire by number of stakes winners, stakes horses, graded stakes winners, and graded stakes horses. He's also a top five general sire by the number of two-year-old winners so far in 2020. And his current crop of yearlings is his first conceived at a $25,000 stud fee. Yearlings from Cairo Prince's fourth crop sold for up to $400,000 this year, underlining his incredible commercial appeal. At $15,000 stands and nurses for 2021, Cairo Prince's value in the extreme, standing at Airdrie Stud. Think about it.
Hi, this is Joe Nicholson. During these difficult times, the team at Nicholson Insurance Agency sends best wishes to all for good health. We can all look forward to better times ahead when this pandemic is behind us. But in the meantime, we need to stay safe. Although the staff at Nicholson Insurance is working from home, phone calls into the office are forwarded so that service remains intact. Customer service professionals continue to be ready, willing, and able to help you with your insurance needs, whether it be equine, farm, home, auto, business, or life. Several of Nicholson Insurance Agency's companies are returning portions of auto premiums because of reduced travel during the isolation period, which I think is the right thing to do. Please call 859-224-7080, Nicholson Insurance Agency. Thank you.
The National HBPA is continuously working to protect the health and welfare of horses by advocating and funding research to help reduce equine injuries, lobbying for a national testing lab to oversee and establish absolute uniform laboratory protocols, advocating for every track to undergo an annual independent surface assessment, passionately supporting off-the-track thoroughbred retirement facilities and adoption groups, and so much more. See additional HBPA initiatives at nationalhbpa.com.
Racing fans, Santa Anita Park wishes you and yours a happy, healthy new year. And although there is still no public admittance, you can watch every Santa Anita race free of charge at santaanita.com/live, and you can watch and wager at First Bet. That's first.com/bet. This Saturday, we'll start down the road to the Kentucky Derby as three-year-olds go a flat mile in the Grade 3 Sham Stakes. Named for the winner of the 1973 Santa Anita Derby, the Sham will provide the winner with 10 Kentucky Derby qualifying points. Also on Saturday, older horses will go a mile and one-eighth on turf in the Grade 2 $200,000 San Gabriel. On Sunday, three-year-old fillies will go 7 furlongs in the Grade 2 Santa Inez Stakes. With first post time over the weekend at 12:30, tune in early as track announcer Frank Miramonte and Tom Quigley will handicap all of the races beginning at 11:20 a.m. For additional information, please visit santaanita.com.
I'm Manny Franco, and I listen to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
California Chrome not gaining. He's back wide and racing in fifth. Shaman Ghost splits horses for Jose Ortiz, and they're into the stretch, and it's the Breeders' Cup winner. It's Arrogate in front, leading by three with an eighth of a mile to go. Shaman Ghost is trying to get into second. Then Neolithic. Back fourth is Noble Bird, followed by Keen Ice. But what a race! What a sport! What a horse! Arrogate romps in the Pegasus. He won it by 3.5 while confidently handled. Shaman goes second. Neolithic third. Then Keen Ice, War Story, and Noble Bird in 1:47.3.
Gulfstream Park Racetrack announcer Pete Aiello on the call of the inaugural Pegasus World Cup Invitational. It was all Arrogate. And hard to believe, but they're going to run the Pegasus for the fifth time 3 weeks from today on January 23rd down at Gulfstream. Welcome back to the Equine Forum here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Nice enough to join us now, a man who was instrumental in getting that day and that place ready, getting Gulfstream Park ready for its biggest day, one of its biggest days of the year, is the Executive Director of South Florida Operations. Wow, that's a lot to say to introduce Billy Badgett. Billy, welcome to the Equine Forum.
Anthony, how are you this morning? Happy New Year.
We're doing great. Happy New Year, my man. How's everything going down there in Hallandale Beach?
Considering COVID, we're doing really well, actually. As far as racing goes, we're doing great.
It's, it's the pink elephant. Look, you know, we've talked about this a lot here on HRRN. You guys did an amazing job keeping things going. I wonder what would have happened, you know, those handful of tracks in March, April, even into May, right before Churchill opened and we got back going here at Belmont in June. You know, you guys kept it going, key track in the wintertime. I wonder what would have happened if you had a shutdown. I wonder if the whole thing would have shut down. You know, a lot of people feel like you guys, and you know, there are plenty of people that point the finger right to you that kept this thing going. So we all appreciate it.
Well, Belinda Stronach was actually very instrumental with the politicians in the city of Hollandale and Aventura, you know, working with them diligently and showing them the extreme protocols we had in place and, you know, realistically what would have happened if we had to close with putting virtually thousands of people out of work and thousands of horses with really nowhere to go and trying to keep the operation going. So they worked with us, you know, diligently to try to just keep everything going. And then through that process, we were talking to, you know, the people in Kentucky, the people in New York, you know, what protocols we had put in place to try to get virtually, tried to help everybody in the industry to get back up and running and you know, being a big part of keeping the whole place up and going. And we've been very lucky. I mean, the health department's in here two or three times a week checking on what we're doing, and you know, they're very happy with even to this day with the state of Florida being pretty wide open of the protocols we had in place. So it worked out really well.
And you're letting you know, the proverbial handful of people in every day.
I'm sorry. What did you say?
You're letting a handful of people in there every day.
Well, we're kind of catering to the horsemen, you know, that are putting up the paying their bills and want to watch the horses run. So we're kind of, we got a few areas open where we really can keep the social distancing for what the politicians want, and, you know, show them that we keep everybody separated. And more, we have everything's pretty shut down inside. We're mostly outside, and, you know, everybody has to wear a mask. We have cleansing stations virtually all over the place on the property, and the casino is only open at part capacity. So, you know, we got everything under control, and you know, even as far as like the jockeys go, we set up extra areas for them to be guys. You know, people that came from New York, we have in one section; people that came from Kentucky in another section, and set up three or four different areas to keep everybody safe and healthy.
You know, for people that haven't been to Gulfstream Park, you just mentioned the casino. For people that haven't been to Gulfstream Park and have been to other racetracks that have casinos, and again, I use Aqueduct because I'm there every day, there couldn't be more of a divide physically. You have to leave the building at Aqueduct, walk outside to get into the casino. If you haven't been to Gulfstream, I've been to plenty of these places. I can't imagine any place where everything's more integrated. You have the casino, which is basically attached to the racetrack. You have all the shopping. So I have to think that gives you guys even a little bit more of a logistical nightmare. And the fact that you've been able to keep the ball rolling makes it that much more remarkable.
Right. Well, it's been a tremendous team effort, and everybody's been on the same page. And you know, you lead by example. You walk around, you see somebody without a mask on, you ask them to put it on. And the people that come here have been really, really good. Everybody wears their masks, and you know, does the right thing. They kind of, unless you have a spouse or a brother or a cousin, you kind of, everybody pretty much separates themselves from each other. And when people are sitting in the box there, and they put their masks on, with the exception of eating or drinking, so everybody's playing their part, which is really important, and it really helps to kind of keep things going.
Talking with Billy Badger from Gulfstream Park. All right, let's turn our attention to the racing. Racing's been really good down there so far. Of course, Claiming Crown Day, always a fun day. And now, really the third, you guys call them premium racing days. You got the 5 3-year-old stakes today. I'm very proud of the fact that I didn't call them 2-year-old stakes. The 5 3-year-old stakes today. And then 3 weeks from today, Pegasus, fifth. Could you imagine that's the fifth Pegasus already?
All right, it's amazing. Absolutely amazing. But when we talked about the first Pegasus, it was like, well, things get started, right? The Breeders' Cup got started. So your big days get started somewhere. And so that was a tremendous start 5 years ago, and to keep it going. And even during these times, to have it, you know, still able to be a big part of it. You know, we have tremendous participation from guys in California and Kentucky, and everybody's looking forward to the race. And it looks like we'll have full fields in both races, and even a couple of horses on the AE, which we haven't had in the past. So it should be a really fun day.
It was a fun card today, too. You know, I think a lot of people, when they talk about that championship meet, we start to see, when it kicks off late November, early December, you start to see some late-blooming two-year-olds, namely from the Todd Pletcher bond. We know we've talked to Todd about how he has that second wave, and that second wave's almost purposely prepared for this championship meet. This day's kind of come together over the past few years, where you have those 5 3-year-old stakes races kind of to kick-start the rest of the program, because for all of these divisions, the sprinters, the turf horses, and then, of course, the Mucho Macho Man leads into the Holy Bull and the Fountain of Youth, and, of course, the highlight of the of the meet is that Florida Derby every year. This day really sets the tone, as we were talking about at the top of the show, right? We turn the calendar, everybody starts thinking Kentucky Derby. Well, this day really sets the tone down in South Florida, not only for the horses with Derby aspirations, but for all the three-year-olds.
No, absolutely. It's a big day. And, you know, like you said, you made a perfect point of being the first stepping stone for, you know, down the road, the Holy Bull, Fountain Youth, and then, of course, the Florida Derby. So this will start separating the men from the boys. And then, you know, the other big part of how the industry's trending, too, is, you know, no LASIK in any of the stake races. So we're very happy to see the amount of participation we got with all the, you know, the horse been having to take the horses off LASIK. But that's pretty much the way the game is going right now. And, you know, with Congress stepping in and getting ready to change all the rules and regulations, it'll be a changing business in the future.
Yeah, it's amazing how the game has evolved. You and I go back about 30-something years at this point. And, of course, before you went to the management side of the game, you were a top trainer, you know, one of the more accomplished guys here in New York. Could you imagine being a trainer forget about the COVID, as everything else is evolving? And now, you know, obviously you work hand in hand with the trainers, you know, the LASIKs. What's that relationship like? Was there any kind of big backlash from the LASIKs and the stakes and the 2 year olds, now three? Was there any kind of big backlash from the training corps?
Well, yeah, there's always backlash, but you know, in this business, trainers, horsemen in general, people do not like change. They like to get in their element and keep things a status quo as much as they possibly can. So yeah, whenever there's change, there's always some kind of a kickback. But they've been really, when we first started this in April with the 2 year olds, yeah, we got it a little bit, you know, because everybody's so. So you try to explain to them, listen, guys, the game's changed. We're going to have to get on board, and whoever's not going to get on board, it's not going to work out for you. So we virtually ran over 2,000 two-year-olds without LASIKs, which was tremendous. And
wow.
And so the participation was there. And like I said before, I was so happy to see the guys, you know, the two-year-olds turning three and running into stakes and not being on LASIKs. So, you know, it's just going to be a part of the game in the future, as well as you saw California yesterday, all the races with no LASIKs either. And it's going to be a game changer for sure.
Yeah, I agree. It's kind of something I never thought we would see it. I remember, and of course you were here. I remember the early '90s with no LASIKs in New York, and then finally in '95. And I think the Breeders' Cup was the big reason the LASIKs even came in '95, because I think they would have had a lot of horses stay home had there been no LASIKs at Belmont Park in 1995 for that Breeders' Cup in October. But it's an absolute positive game changer. You guys are selling tickets for the Pegasus. And it kind of looks like things after the holidays, hopefully, I think we're all hopeful that start pointing in the right direction and we get to start opening back up, not only as an industry, but as a country. Do you guys have a reopening plan beyond the Pegasus?
Not right now, no.
Okay.
It looks like it'll be limited to around 2,500 people on Pegasus Day, and then we're just going to play it by ear as far as the numbers go in Florida. We're kind of hoping after New Year's and hopefully with this vaccine kind of kicking in that things settle down a little bit. So it's really a day-to-day scenario of how we're going to plan things out for down the road. So, you know, you watch California, you watch New York, things being completely shut down, and Florida's a complete opposite. Florida's, you know, wide open. And our numbers are up there. They're high, you know. So we really got to keep an eye on that. And we got to look out for, you know, the safety of the people that work here, more importantly, and then, you know, watching out for the people that are coming. Because then what happens is you got You know, we have protocols for, say, jockeys flying into the Pegasus. They have to take a test 3 days before they come. They have to get to Florida, take a test when they get here, and then 5 days later take another test. So, you know, we have strict, strict protocols. Now you're going to have owners flying in from New York or California without having to get tested. So we get a little worried about that part of it. So we're kind of keeping a close eye on everything. And we have it set up with 2,500 people that we can really delegate this, the social distancing, and where we can put people and nobody can be close to one another. We have all kinds of screens up in front of the mutual tellers and waiters and everything like that. So we're going to keep a very close eye on it after the Pegasus, just to kind of see where we're at with the numbers and what's going on. And then, of course, the January 20th, the presidency is going to change, and we really don't know what Biden's going to do either.
Yeah, a lot of uncertainty in the next few weeks. One thing is for sure, racing will continue. Gulfstream Park, you guys have done an amazing job getting through the most unusual year. Continued success into the new year. Before I let you go, has there been a Louis Delvecchio sighting?
Yes, Louis's here.
It's a very important question. If you know, you know. Louis Delvecchio is down at Gulfstream Park. Billy, thanks for some time this morning. All the best in the new year.
Yeah, my pleasure, Tony. Anytime. Thanks, buddy.
All right, Billy. Billy Padgett, Executive Director, South Florida Operations for the Stronach Group. Nice enough to give us some time this morning. And, of course, Billy, like all of our guests, will get some apparel from EmbraceTheRace.com. Embrace your passion over at EmbraceTheRace.com. Of course, Billy trained one of the greatest fillies I've ever seen, Gopher Juan, an absolute legend in her time. And speaking of legends, it's time now for the Lexus Legends of the Turf, brought to you by the Lexus Store of Lexington.
It wasn't planned that way, but it turned out to be a promoter's dream. The event was the Trenton Handicap at Garden State in New Jersey in November of 1957. The question before the race might well have been, who will wear the crown? After all, the Miss America contest was held in the same state, and in this race, the three outstanding colts in America at the time, Round Table, Bull Ruler, and Gallant Man, were ready to answer the call to post for the mile and a quarter test. Two of the horses were locked in a struggle for not only the two-year-old crown, but Horse of the Year as well, Round Table and Gallant Man. The third member of that troika, although very good, considered a tag-along, was Bold Ruler. The cast of characters for the drama about to unfold bears closer verbal scrutiny. Round Table was a small, very powerful son of Prince Quillo out of Knight's Daughter by Sir Cosmo. He'd done everything asked of him and more. And against all comers, those with speed, those with distance durability, and those that were older. He'd won 11 in a row on any kind of racing surface all over the country. He was a slashing speedster, especially at middle distances. He set a track record of 158-3 in the mile and a quarter Hollywood Gold Cup, and was the only three-year-old ever to win it. He'd equaled the track record at Hawthorne for the same distance in winning that Gold Cup, and set a new mark at Keeneland for 1 1/8 miles. Owned by Travis Kerr, trained by Willie Moulter, the only chink in his armor was not a particular fondness for an off-track, and the track at Garden State on this day was rated as good. Gallant Man was a small, sturdy son of Majoli out of Majida by Mahmood, obviously English inbreeding and quite formidable at that. Very versatile, superb stamina, acknowledged as the best in the East. It equaled Tropical's 6-furlong record with a blistering 109-2, smashed the American 1 1/2-mile record at Belmont, and the 9-furlong track mark at Belmont as well. He'd won the Jockey Club Gold Cup at 2 miles, lost a heartbreaker in the Derby through a rider error, that was the infamous Shoemaker misjudgment of the finish line, and he had swapped wins with Dedicated in the Nassau County and the Woodward. Both of the latter were weight for age. Owned by Ralph Lowe, trained by the highly capable Johnny Nayrud, the possible chink in his armor was also an apparent less than zestful liking for an off-track. Bold Ruler was considered the uninvited guest, as it were, akin to Sheridan Whiteside in The Most Entertaining Man Who Came to Dinner, a role quite remarkably well played by Monty Woolley, by the way. Bold Ruler was the sometimes erratic son of Nasrullah out of Miss Disco by Discovery. He had proven he could carry a lot of weight, having done so in winning the Bahamas, Flamingo, Wood Memorial, a race in which, by the way, he defeated Gallant Man in track record time, the Preakness, the Jerome, the Vosburg, and the Queens County. He appeared to have lost his edge through the summer, encountering difficulty going over a mile and an eighth. Very speedy out of the gate indeed he was. Owned by Mrs. Henry Carnegie Phipps and trained by the legendary Sonny Jim Fitzsimmons. Possible flaw? He had not done well at all in previous attempts at 10 furlongs and had been demolished by Gallant Man at 12 furlongs. Bold Ruler in this race, as expectedly, broke very quickly with Heady Eddie Arquero in the saddle and went on out to set the early fractions. Round Table swerved and broke in a tangle, Gallant Man away in good order. Into the clubhouse turn, Bold Ruler opened a 3.5-length lead, but that too had been expected, with Round Table second, 3 lengths in front of Gallant Man. Bold Ruler cut the first stop in 47 and running freely and pulling off to an open 5-length lead. At the far turn, Bold Ruler had not let up one single bit, and he had an 8-length lead. The very astute Arquero now began to look back for the expected challenges. Gallant Man made a bit of a run around the turn to come abreast of Round Table, and those two matched strides while slowly closing in on Bold Ruler. Round Table was the first to give up the chase, but Gallant Man closed to within 2 lengths of Bold Ruler, but they were in mid-stretch by that time, and Arquero still had some horse left. He hand-rode Bold Ruler to the wire to a 2-length win. It had been Bold Ruler's day. Not the way the experts figured it, but races often turn out that way. For example, the 1930 Travers, when the question had been Gallant Fox or which one or Gallant Fox. Well, it turned out to be neither. It was Jim Dandy then at 100-1, and it had been Bold Ruler on this particular day. A solid victory for not the man who came to dinner, but the horse who came to race in November of 1957 in the Trenton Handicap, and he did indeed leave wearing a crown.
Visionary design, visceral performance, and imaginary technology. That's Lexus. When every detail, every moment, and every emotion is crafted by Lexus, it leads to amazing. Experience artistry that inspires, design that compels, and engineering that excites. This is Mike Pena, and I can tell you personally, as a Lexus owner, the enjoyment you'll experience from driving any of the Lexus model lines is unparalleled. Visit the Lexus store of Lexington today and see what I've been talking about for nearly 15 years. The people truly make the difference. Lexus has also been a longtime supporter of the horse industry, with a Keeneland shop located at the Lexus store of Lexington and through their sponsorship of Keeneland's Lexus Raven Run Stakes each fall. Talk horses and experience amazing in your brand new Lexus.
Tenda Equine and Pet Care products have been keeping world-class equine athletes happy and healthy for generations. Keep your equine athlete looking and performing well with Tenda Next Generation Wound and Skin Care Treatment. Along with nutritional supplements, leg and muscle care products, salves, hoof care, poultice, topical aids, and grooming products. Visit TendaHorse.com today.
Justify, a four-time Grade 1 winner, Eclipse Champion 3-year-old, Horse of the Year, and the only undefeated Triple Crown winner. By Sire of Sires, Scat Daddy, Justify's first foals sold for up to $600,000 at the recent November sales, while his in-foal mares were led by the three-time Grade 1 winning daughter of Uncle Mo, Bast, who sold for $4.2 million to Spendthrift Farm. Justify has covered over 80 Grade 1 winners or dams of Grade 1 winners in his first 2 years at Ashford. Call the team at Ashford today to book your mare while there are still seasons available.
Pin Oak Studs Alternation ranks highly among Kentucky's fourth crop sires by percentage of black type winners from runners. With nearly $5.5 million in earnings to date, Alternation was represented by 5 black type horses in 2020. His brilliant Kentucky Oaks winner, Serengeti Empress, won the Grade 1 Ballerina at Saratoga and was runner up in the Breeders' Cup Filly and Mare Sprint. First or second in 6 Grade 1 events, Serengeti Empress amassed over $2.1 million. Alternation stands at Pin Oak Stud.
This is Florent Giroux, and you are listening to HRRN.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Welcome back. the Equine Forum. I'm the Big A, Anthony Stabile, filling in for the Baron of the Backstretch, Mike Penna, vacationing Mike Penna. He'll be back next week with the second edition of the program for 2021. All right, it's been a fun year. It was a fun year. We kick off a new year here on HRRN with a new year. We like to try to bring you some new stuff, a new thing. So it's time now for a brand new weekly segment on the Equine Forum, and it's brought to you by our friends at First Bet.
And now, today's First Bet.
All right, today's First Bet comes from Race 4 at Tampa Bay Downs, set to go off at 1:42 Eastern time today. And it's number 5, Juan Pablo, who is 5-1 on the morning line. He's the first bet because he has a 31% first bet win projection. He rates 11 points higher than the next closest win contender. He is top ranking 12 of First Bet's leading factors for this race. His trainer, Jose Delgado, won at a 31% clip at Tampa this past December. The race's top finisher benefits if the pace is fast, and he has top four finishes in 6 of his last 7 races, so some consistency. For today's first bet, it's the number 5, Juan Pablo, in race 4 at Tampa Bay Downs. I'll be back right after this word from First Bet.
Have you heard about the new handicapping and betting app that is sweeping the nation? It's called First Bet, and it puts the power of AI-assisted handicapping, seamless wagering, and live HD video in the palm of your hand. Thousands of bettors have already made First Bet their way to handicap, bet, and watch more than 300 of the world's top tracks. Isn't it time for you to join them? And when you give First Bet a try today, you can cash in on a huge welcome bonus. Sign up with promo code SPORTOFKINGS, all one word, and you will get $10 just for joining, as well as a 10% rebate, up to $500 for your first 30 days. With that much free cash on the line, what do you have to lose? Get started at first.com/bet. That's number 1, st.com/bet. And don't forget promo code SPORTOFKINGS when you sign up. And if you already have an ExpressBet account, you're way ahead of the game. Simply log into FirstBet using your username and password, and you're off to the races.
Up to 18 years or older and 21 years old in certain states to open an account with FirstBet and reside in a state where such activity is legal, void or prohibited. National Gambling Support Line 800-522-4700.
All right, welcome back to the Equine Forum, thanks to our friends at First Bet. We'll be bringing you the first bet of the day each and every week here on the Equine Forum. A lot of change throughout 2020 for our next guest, who started out in the NYRA press department. And actually being told now that a little bit of a phone issue, so we'll hold off on Mr. Naja Thompson. But you know what, in case we don't get Naja on, Naja's done a great job. Started at NYRA a little less than a decade ago, and worked his way through the ranks. I guess the best thing that you could say about Naja is... you can't find anybody to say a bad word about him. And that's a rarity in this world. Naj was always the... Naj was like the greeter. Now, if there was something that needed to be done, if there was something that needed to be smooth over, I guess it makes sense that he wound up in HR over at NYRA. But Naj always did a great job at smoothing things over and doing his job and just getting along with everybody. And I think he is going to be a great, great asset to the New York Thoroughbred Breeders. For those of you who don't know, he's following Jeff Canizzo as the executive director over at the NYTB, over at the New York Thoroughbred Breeders. He's also just named to the board here at the New York Racing Association. And, he just does a great job. He is going to do a phenomenal job in his new role as we efforting, right? It's not even really a word, I don't think. but we like to use it around here. So, yeah, we're efforting to get Naj on the air. And looking forward to seeing what he did. You know, Jeff Canizzo, his predecessor, did an amazing job. And I don't think anybody thinks Naj is going to do anything less than a spectacular job. And Naja Thompson joins us now, the executive director of the New York Thoroughbred Breeders, NYRA board member as well. Naj, congratulations. Welcome to the Equine Forum.
Thank you, Anthony. Good morning to you. Just happy to be on board and happy to join you here this morning on HRRN.
Yes, let's talk about, you know, I don't think a lot of people have seen, first of all, there's nobody better dressed than Naja. Nobody dresses better than Naja. So you've seen 4 million pictures of Naja, but I don't know if everybody knows the full story. How'd you get involved in racing? Talk about your start at NYRA.
Sure. You know, just got into the game as much as many of us do. My uncle took me to the races, starting with OTB, and he was a member of the Turf and Field Club at Belmont. So every Saturday and every weekend, we'd go to the Belmont Park and look at her. I moved to Florida with my family when I was a teenager, so spent my days at Calder and Gulfstream, and always wanted to get back in the industry. So always pursued a path to get back in, and following college and working my first couple of years in marketing overall, I was able to join NYRA through Julia Levine, the head recruiter there, and she was able to get me in the door. And ever since then, just working my way, meeting great individuals such as yourself, and was able to get to where I am today.
Yeah, and then during the COVID, kind of switched positions. You left us in the press office, headed down to HR, and then I guess this opportunity presented itself once Jeff Canizzo took the position at NYRA.
Yeah, that's right. You know, with everything the pandemic had to deal with on every industry, including ours in horse racing, I had the opportunity to join HR and NYRA to help build and shape the company and guide us where NYRA was going to go at the time. And, you know, felt we were really doing some good work and continuing to do good work in HR and bringing the right people on board to steer the company forward. But as you mentioned, the opportunity with Jeff Canizzo leaving at the open, then he's joining NYRA in a senior director of government affairs role. So, you know, that intrigued me and piqued my interest to get back to the everyday racing, being able to get on the breeding side, supporting breeders in the New York Bred program. And I was thinking, pull enough, the board of directors gave me this opportunity to join them.
You are, as people, a people, a person, as I have ever met. And I like to think I'm a pretty outgoing guy. You're all over the place. Can't find anybody to say a bad word about you except Andy Serling. just kidding. Naj and Andy are very good friends. And Andy thinks the world of Naj, as we all do. I can't think of a person better for a role, and maybe even more importantly, a role better for a person than this position for you.
Oh, you know, I really appreciate that, Anthony. You know, it's always about building and expanding relationships and personal skills and getting the word out about how great the New York Bred program is and the incentives we have in New York for stallion owners and breeders and the progeny that race in New York every day. And, you know, you're called in the past year rise as an announcer, and I are backing up Johnny I. It's just great overall. We're just here to promote the program, and I'm here to make sure that we strengthen it year by year.
And let's talk about that. So we got a few things going on right now. There's a New York, there's an NYTB stallion season auction going on right now. Well, it's actually going from January 12th to the 14th. You want to talk about that?
Sure, yes. You know, annually, NYTB, we try to raise our money through this auction, to which individuals at StarQuine.com can bid on stallions that are offered. Some of those offered this year, include Cross Traffic, really a chance for breeders to get a chance and get a season in, while also benefiting the NYTB, January 12th through January 14th at StarQuine.com.
And we have a membership drive as well from January through April, correct?
Yes, you know, we're a membership-driven organization, and members annually pay their dues, which we use as being the voice of the thoroughbred industry in New York to support our lobbyists in Albany. As you know, Anthony, it's a very crucial time with the pandemic, with everything going on in the state and potential budget cuts that breeders and the New York thoroughbred industry does have a voice in Albany, So we use our membership fees, which people can find out the benefits of becoming a member, including receiving our New York Breeder monthly magazine, the New York Stallion Register, at our website, nytbreeders.org.
I have my hard copy of the Register in my hand right now. I was looking through it before we went on the air this morning when Lee and I were doing the mic check. In the back of the actual hard copy, there's a farm directory, and obviously, farm directory includes racing stables and stuff. There's like 140 registered here. That's a pretty remarkable number.
Yeah. You know, the New York program, breeding program, is very robust. It's been growing year by year. We contribute as an industry 19,000 jobs, over $3 billion in economic impact. So to the New York economy, we do have a voice, and New York racing is here to stay and cherished, you know, championed by you and others and, you know, the bettors who are putting their money every day. We want to see the rewards and the breed of New York programs when you get to see nice horses such as the recently retired Tis the Law on the track.
Yeah, there are a couple of new stallions that are going to stand in New York. They're standing for the first time in the New York Stallions. I'm looking for a couple of former Chad Brown runners. Fog of War, who I was a huge fan of, and Honest Mischief. Yeah. We get a little Judmont, blood in the Empire State now. This, of course, a son of Honest Lady. So he should be, I would take a horse like him, a son of Into Mischief now here in the Empire State. I'm looking forward to seeing the impact he has in a few years when his babies hit the ground.
Definitely, you know, year by year, stallion owners, breeders, and farms are just making the deals. Last year, we saw what Lauban did, and the New York bred stallion program has just continued to flourish with, as you mentioned, Fog of War coming in, the only son of War front to stand outside of Kentucky and New York. So it's going to be, you know, a great couple of years ahead we're going to see in the New York bred program.
As, like I said, the people person, the COVID, I'm sure this did not do well for it. It did not sit well with guys like you and I, as far as our personalities go. As far as this goes, does it make things a little more difficult having to do more of the work on the phone, maybe using Skype and Zoom, as opposed to just doing, because we're just quite frankly not doing as much stuff in person as we used to right now.
Sure, you know, as I mentioned earlier, you know, one of the big, you know, dealings of having to have this job is having the interpersonal relationships. And, you know, I want to go out, make the farm tours, invite people out to the races. That's how we get people involved to the sport and to our game, bringing friends of friends to the track and who become owners, later potentially become breeders. That's how it all starts. And we've had the transition, as you mentioned, to Zoom and doing other things where we can't be face-to-face in person. But we're still trying to get the word out there. What NYRA has done with the television shows and broadcasting the coverage of races, that's still able to make an impact in getting the word on how well the New York Bred program is overall.
Well, Najem, the New York Thoroughbred Breeders made a fantastic hire. We'll be sorry to see you go from NYRA, but I'm sure we'll see you around plenty, especially when the some of these restrictions are lifted. It was great seeing you the other day when they made the announcement, and we wish you nothing but the best, and we'll talk to you soon.
Definitely. Thanks, Anthony. Thanks to you and all the HRN listeners. Just continue to support our program and our sport overall, the New York Bred program, our Stallion Series. Great things happening here in the Empire State.
Yes, there are. Tomorrow we got the Laver Dodd for the State Bred Philly Sharp Star, certainly on the rise in those ranks. Next, Najah, we'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Anthony. Have a good day.
You too. Najah Thompson, the New York Executive Director of the New York Thoroughbred Breeders. Najah's going to do a great job, as Jeff Canizzo did before him. Jeff now over at the New York Racing Association in that executive role. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, it is time for the Industry Star of the Week, presented by Stuart Morris. We have a special one for you this week. This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, your home for racing's biggest events.
Hi, Tony.
Hey, Matthew.
There's a reason why Tony Steaks and Seafood is my favorite restaurant. It's because I want to feel part of the family. Isn't that right, Tony?
That's right. There's a saying on the wall that I truly believe in. There's always room for one more at our table. We just want you to be part of our family.
And believe me, you will be. It's Tony Steaks and Seafood right across from Triangle Park. Visit them at TonySteaksandSeafood.com. Gainsway.com.
Gainsway Stallion Taproot, a $1.2 million yearling at Saratoga. Taproot's victories include the Grade 1 Belmont Stakes.
And they're into the stretch. Irish War Cry turns for home with Taproot trying to run him down in the last furlong. The two of them are now a half length apart. They are clear of Gormley and Patch. It is Irish War Cry. And on the outside, Taproot. Taproot has taken the lead. Taproot and Irish War Cry come down to the line together. It is Taproot and Jose Ortiz in the Belmont Stakes.
In his first 2 years at stud, Taproot has bred over 240 mares. Now his first weanlings have arrived, selling for up to $100,000. One of the best bred sons of Sire of Sires, Taproot, to ever enter stud. Classic winner and stakes record setter, Taproot, standing at Gainsway.
I may never have met you. We don't go way back. Maybe we wouldn't even be friends if we did. But when you wear a mask, you have my respect. Because your mask doesn't protect you. It protects me. I wear my mask to protect you. Mask up, America.
Brought to you by the Ad Council.
One in three adults has prediabetes. One in three. That means it could be you, your football buddy. Your football buddy. Or you, your best man. Your worst man. You, your dog walker. Your cat jogger. While one in three adults has prediabetes, with early diagnosis, prediabetes can be reversed. Take the risk test at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
Hey, this is the Big A, Anthony Stabile, reminding you that Race Day on HRRN, presented by Twin Spires, comes your way every Wednesday through Friday from 3 to 6 p.m. Eastern. Bobby Newman joins me to bring you all of the fall and winter action from places like Aqueduct, Gulfstream, Santa Anita, Del Mar, and Churchill, as well as interviews with the biggest players in thoroughbred racing. That's Race Day on HRRN, presented by Twin Spires. Tune in on Sirius 219, XM 201, or stream it live at horseracingradio.net.
Hi, this is Penelope Miller, and you're listening to Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Catherine Sophia well within striking range, and now Mike Smith makes his move. They head to the far turn with 3/8 to go, and now Songbird up to engage Karina Villa, and Catherine Sophia, she's in with a chance. She's only 2 lengths behind the two. So the big three right together with a quarter mile to go. Songbird still under a hand ride. Karina Mia beginning to be ridden along a bit. And Catherine Sophia now suddenly 3 lengths behind. But Songbird comes off the turn and the champ has taken command. At the eighth hole, Songbird begins to stride away. Karina Mia second. Catherine Sophia laboring back in third. Here she is, folks. Just a magnificent blend of grace and power as she comes to the finish. Songbird, a picture of perfection.
Keith Jones on the call of the 2016 Cotillion. It was all Songbird. One of what he approximated at 70,000 race calls in his career. Keith will join us at the top of the hour to look back on a remarkable career, mostly at parks down in Bensalem, Pennsylvania. Welcome back to the Equine Forum here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. We asked you earlier today, talked about my friend Steve Dudenoth from the NHC Tour and how we make the annual, will Bob Baffert win the Kentucky Derby this year? I, of course, meant with a runner. But a good job. Rob Pennell with the wise guy answer of the year so far. Not unless he can run really fast, plus he looks a bit older than three. Yes, Rob. Fantastic work, Rob. I deserve that one. Speaking of Steve Dudenoth, he was the first one in. First vote. He didn't tell me which way he voted. I can imagine which way he voted, though, so thanks, Steve. He just wanted us to know it was the first vote. Skip Anderson weighed in with nope. Brad Cox will with the Central Quality. And I would imagine that the Central Quality was, I shouldn't say is anymore, but life is good, especially later on, and we'll see how he runs in the Sham, was the Winterbrook favorite coming into the day Life is Good brokers made, and Life is Good now, I would have to imagine, is the Winterbrook favorite, but we'll find out. We've gotten 102 votes so far, 58.8% say no, 41.2% say, excuse me, yes. Head over to at HRN on Twitter to vote in today's poll question of the day. Will Bob Baffert or will a Bob Baffert-trained runner, Rob Pinnell, win the 2021 Kentucky Derby? All right. Each and every week before the top of the hour, we present our Industry Star of the Week, presented by Stuart Morris. No guest today. Don't have a guest for that today because the Star of the Week is you, HRN Nation, or more specifically, the fan. We've talked ad nauseum at this point about the unusual year that was 2020. And while horsemen and women, racing executives, trainers, owners, jockeys, media, while we were all asked to do things a bit differently, it's our job, in a sense, to do that. You guys are not beholden to anyone. You guys are not required to do the things you did. And what you did was you adapted like the rest of us did. Thanks to some additional programming, some nationwide programming, and I think everybody did a great job. Naira and Churchill partnering with Fox, TVG partnering with NBC Sports. I think everybody did what they could to get our great sport in front of more eyes than it has been in many, many years. But you guys who have been, who are there with us each and every day, who tune into Sirius 219 to XM 201, who stream it live at horseracingradio.net, who watch NBC Sports, who watch TVG, who watch Fox Sports 1 and 2, who turn it on MSG, you watch Talking Horses every day, you watch Frank and Tom Quigley, Frank Marimetti and Tom Quigley at Santa Anita, Ed and Joe and Brandon and the whole crew at Churchill Downs, you guys who, when you were told you couldn't go to the racetrack anymore, you kept betting and you kept watching and you kept listening. We say it all the time. We couldn't do any of this without you. We wouldn't have HRN. We wouldn't have horse races. We wouldn't have any of it if you guys weren't out there watching, listening, and unfortunately, most importantly, betting. And the numbers don't lie. You did it all in droves. You allowed us here at HRN to do some different things this year. One of the funnest things I've ever got to do in my time here at the Horse Racing Radio Network and in the game in all was the HRN Fantasy Derby presented by Claiborne Farm. And if you have a chance, go back and take a listen if you haven't listened to it already. Something we were very proud of here at the Horse Racing Radio Network. We essentially brought you a derby on Derby Day that you guys voted on. You picked the winner of the HRN Fantasy Derby. So when we say you're a part of the team here, when we call you HRN Nation, it's not an exaggeration. You helped us with the HRN Fantasy Derby. We have 14 hours of programming every week. You're part of one of them each and every week on that BridgeNet.com call-in show. So when we say we can't do it without you, at least a part of the week, we literally cannot do it without you. And the participation in the poll questions here every week, you guys all deserve it. So this week's Industry Star of the Week, presented by Stuart Morris, is you, the fan. Thank you for all you have done. Thank you for all you continue to do. And we look forward to keeping you entertained here on HRN into 2021 and beyond. Fun first half of the Equine Forum. Second half kicks off with legendary racetrack announcer from Parks, Keith Jones. But first, station identification. We're back with hour number two right after we pause 10 seconds for that station identification. This is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
From the rail to your radio, this is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Improbable, then global campaign, Tacitus, tis the law, all behind Authentic, who strides away in the Keeneland sunset for John Velasquez. Authentic has won the Longines Breeders' Cup Classic.
Tis the Law's got a two-length lead. Dr. Post has moved up on the outside into second. Pneumatic is third, but it is the New York Hero, Tis the Law and Manny Franco, to win the Belmont Stakes.
Welcome to the Equine Forum.
Tarnawa is running fast down the center of the course. Tarnawa past Magical has caught Channel Maker. Tarnawa moves on by Tarnawa and Colin Keane to win the Longines Turf. Order of Australia looking for a huge upset here. Order of Australia gets that upset at 73-1. For Pierre Charles Boudot, who's having quite a Breeders' Cup.
Now, here's Anthony Stabile.
Hour number two of the Equine Forum is upon us. Welcome back. Thanks for joining me. I'm the big A, Anthony Stabile, filling in for the Baron of the Backstretch, Mike Penna, here on the show that launched the network, the Equine Forum. As we kick off 2021, what a fun Saturday morning program still to come in this hour number two. Steve Haskin going to join us to talk about three-year-olds, calling all three-year-olds, presented by Spendthrift Farm. Our own Bobby Newman gives you his top three-year-olds with 4 months to go till Kentucky Derby 147. And Mike Willman will join us from the Great Race Place to talk about all the exciting things going on at Santa Anita. First things first, though, earlier in 2021, in the fall of 2020, John Curran from Delaware Park announced his retirement as the track announcer there for 37 years down at Delaware Park. Dave Rodman's been there for three decades down in Maryland. And our next guest was the voice of Parks Racing for 33 years early in December. He announced his retirement at the end of the year, and he is nice enough to give us some time this morning on Equine Forum. Of course, it is Keith Jones. Hello! Keith Jones joins us this morning. Keith, thanks for some time. Congratulations on a great career.
Anthony, thank you. Appreciate you having me on, and thanks for the kind words. Thanks.
There was nothing better as a gambler than hearing the hello when you had the hello horse at 40-1.
People asked me plenty of times what was the hello, when did a horse get a hello, and I let them know that there was a cutoff point. You had to be 20-1 or better to get a hello. So that's what it was. You had to be 20-1 or better, or you didn't get a hello.
That's fantastic. I did not know that there was a border, but that's about right. If you find the 20-1 shot, I think you deserve some kind of recognition. 33 years. Did it feel like that when you wrapped things up last week?
Well, it was, how about 34? Give me one more year there. It was 34 years complete.
34, wow.
And, I don't think I can say it felt like that. I guess I enjoyed what I did so much. It wasn't a grind or any of that kind of stuff, even though I was at a circuit where we raced pretty much all year round. I didn't have breaks in between meets, that kind of thing. I pretty much was at it the whole time. We did back off on the racing schedule later on in my career. At the beginning, I was doing 5 and 6 day weeks, but that didn't go all the way to the end. But I can't say it felt like that at all. No.
I guess that's, when I was thinking back about things, and you and I, when we set this interview up Thursday, you probably don't remember this because I'm sure it's happened 1,000 times. My dad brought me up to the booth. It was either 89 or 90. As a kid, and my dad always had horses at Parks and Garden State and Atlantic City and Monmouth. You know, so I was harassing Larry Letterman all the time and Tom and Dave over at the Meadowlands. We talk about the soundtrack. After Durkin and Marshall Cassidy, I probably heard your voice more than anybody else. And I think a lot of East Coast horse players and fans and horsemen and women could probably say the same thing. I mean, you were a constant, like you said. And I think the thing about your career is you've seen the evolution of this game probably better than anyone from the 5 and 6 day week at a place where the purses and weren't always the biggest, but from that 5 and 6 day week through the casino money and the purses exploding and the racing kind of, you know, talking about the breaks, talk about that, how it started out just, you know, you're working literally every day because we all know there's no day off. Even if you have a day off, it's not a day off. To right. Where it's gotten to now down there.
Well, you know, it's interesting you bring that up, Anthony, because in the course of since I announced my retirement, that I had some people send me some old memorabilia, and a couple of those things were really old programs, right after I got started when it was back at Philadelphia Park in the late 80s. And you look at the program, and I'm sure you remember what those old programs looked like, those thin sure. little things that basically just had the jockey and the trainer, and that, you know, there was no PPs in there, any of that other kind of stuff. But the thing that really stood out to me was, oh, my gosh, look at the purse money they're running for. You know, it was next to nothing. And compared to what we see today, as you mentioned, with the slot machine, the slot money that gets kicked into our purse money in Pennsylvania, it's just been a huge boom to the people that have had a chance to, you know, keep their stables here and run regularly in the state of Pennsylvania. Of course, we have the great breeders' bonus too for the Pennsylvania breds. But when you look back at those purses, it was just astounding how small they were.
It was funny. New Year's Eve in '89, my dad ran my favorite horse he ever trained. He had a horse named Please the Palate. I want to say the pot was 6,600. And, of course, you're supposed to send your 12-year-old son to Aqueduct on New Year's Day to put a pick six in for you. My dad hit the pick six here at Aqueduct, and it paid $16,000. I was 12 years old, and I walked around with that ticket all day. And the only thing that couldn't get out of my head was, I didn't know how Please the Palate had done. I said, I got a ticket in my pocket for this guy for $16,000 right now, and he drove 2 hours on New Year's Day to go run a horse where the winner's share of the purse would have been less than, like, $4,000. And to get to where it is now, I think the last time I looked, $7,500, not one of the two lifetime claimers run for $19,000. That's just remarkable.
And you talk about the evolution of the game. You watch the way that the horsemen, I don't know what to use the word, manipulate, but the way they strategize, how they claim horses and how they run horses back and the way that they're able to make money and make good money by doing that in a very intelligent and smart way.
Yeah. In the being in that booth for as long as you were, you probably have the best perspective of anyone in the game. Because, again, it went from being, you know, really, I mean, as light purse money as you're going to get to there are probably, you probably have programs there that friends had sent you, like you said, where the full card is three races now in purse money.
Yeah.
Maybe
yeah.
on some days, like Cotillion and Pennsylvania Derby Day, I'm sure there are cards in there where there's one race is worth the entirety of a card from 28, 30 years ago.
No question about it. Absolutely no question about it. The way you use the word perspective, I wanted to put just a little bit of a different spin on that in terms of my perspective of where my booth was. I was lucky, you know, I've called it at different tracks. You know, Monmouth, I did get a chance to call a race up at Belmont when they had pre-Breeders' Cup. They had something called
95. I remember that day, the day before the Breeders' Cup in 95. I was there that day.
Yeah. I was lucky enough to have one of the best situations for seeing the race that of any of the places I was at. I was almost directly not quite, but almost directly on the finish line. I know that the booth at Monmouth Park, you're actually to the left of the finish line, and by a little bit. So when you're trying to call a tight finish at Monmouth Park, it's very difficult because you have a terrible angle for the finish line. At Belmont, I couldn't. The first thing that happened was it's so big, my 10 by 50 binoculars weren't strong enough. I had to borrow somebody else's binoculars to call my one race. And then I was astounded at how steep the horses were, almost directly below me as they came down to the finish line. And that I found that to be a little bit, a very unusual feeling from what I was used to. But I had a great perspective in terms of being able to call the races on a day-to-day basis at Parks.
Yeah, you had a great booth. And, you know, of course, I would imagine you get asked most about Smarty Jones and how things started for him, with the local, you mentioned guys and gals that had stayed the whole time. I mean, John Service is as much a part of Philly Park and Parks as you are, quite frankly. But there were plenty of other good horses there, and we'll talk about Smarty in a minute, but plenty of other good horses that rolled through there, even at the beginning of your career.
No question about it. Going back to Smarty, though, Anthony, it was neat to see when you look back at the videos of the races. Here's a horse that ended up, I say he almost won the Triple Crown, and then, almost is almost. But the first two races, especially the first race, you look at the winner's circle, and there's almost nobody around the outside of that circle. Here's a horse that went on to serious national prominence in the first race of his career, and almost nobody's there in the winner's circle to greet him. They had no idea what he was or who he was at that point.
At what point did you kind of know that, you know what, maybe this, I mean, that Pennsylvania Nursery was a sparkling performance, but, you get to see him on almost a weekly basis. When does it start going through your head, I might be calling a real racehorse here, a real contender?
I can point, there were two things, Anthony. The nursery, and I know as an announcer exactly what I'm talking about. The way that a horse moves when he's running, when you're looking at a really good horse, you can tell. And the way he went down, the 7 furlongs for us is a straight run to the far turn. So the first half mile is basically a straight run. And he was on the front end, and didn't even seem like he was exerting himself. It was effortless for him. And I look up at the teletimer, and he went 44-1. And I was just astounded. There was no way it seemed like he could possibly be going that fast. And yet he hits it at 44-1. And, here a 2-year-old in the second race of his career, okay, he's going way too fast. He's going to back up into the field. And instead he just continued to widen and draw away. So that was number one. The second thing that I'll never forget is we were down in the winner's circle early in the morning for one of his workout sessions. And, you're down on the track, and I know you know exactly what I'm talking about. The horses that'll come by, you can hear that boom, boom, boom as they're going by. Well, he ran by in his workout, and it was almost like there was no sound. It was as if he was just gliding over the track. And that, again, just astounded me. The sound, there was almost no sound.
Yeah, those are the good. Those are the great. They're not even the good ones. Those are the great ones. You just kind of know. I tell you what, we had a nice little shipper come up and win the Jerome yesterday. That Capo Kane, he ran really, really well yesterday. An 84 buyer speed figure. He did everything on the front end. He ran really, really well. I'm not saying he's Smarty Jones, but he ran really well yesterday. We're talking with track announcer Keith Jones. Spent 34 years down at Parks. Was he your favorite horse to call, Smarty, or did you have any other fanfare? I mean, I'm sure there are horses that I'm sure there are horses you called 50 or 60 times in your career.
That's another thing that's funny that you asked me that, because as the last couple days were counting down, Anthony, I wondered to myself, what horse have I announced more than any other horse in my career? And really, honestly, I have no idea. But there's got to be somebody who I announce more than anybody. When you talk about fun horses, I think more than anything, the horses that come from off the pace and make those huge late runs, it's just so dramatic as they, you know, run down everybody in the stretch. And I remember one of my favorite late runners that just had a funny name. His name was Whistle Pig, a Pennsylvania bred that is owned by a friend of mine. You get horses that have cool names like that, and again, give you that exciting late run. That kind of stuff's a lot of fun.
How about some of the friends you've made over the years? Some of the, you know, not just the obviously the equine, and you know, you're a racetrack guy. You're not just an announcer. You're a racetrack guy. You're out in the morning, you know, telling stories about watching the workouts and stuff. Remember the first friend you made when you walked into Parks 35 years ago, 34 years ago?
The first job I had was Garden State in 85. And this is kind of weird. She became an Eclipse Award winning photographer. Her name was Kim Pratt. And she was sitting in the publicity office waiting for an interview. You know, we met each other and later came to, she got a job the same day that I did. We came to find out we shared the same birthday, and we basically spent her office upstairs where I am in Parks is right next to mine. And just kind of amazing that the two of us shared all of that stuff throughout the course of the entirety of my career.
That's fantastic. Those are the little tidbits you only get here on the Equine Forum. That's fantastic. It's great to hear things like that. What will you miss the most?
I think I'm going to miss the people more than anything. Again, you mentioned the friendships. It's the relationships and the friendships that I've had a chance to garner over all the course of that time. But looking forward to it. I mean, where we're going, I'm sure I'm going to make a lot of new friends and do a lot of other kind of fun stuff. You know, I'm big with golf. I can't wait to get out to the golf course and start playing a little bit more golf than I've been able to over the past few years. But it's the people, Tony. The racetrack people are kind of a little breed into itself, and I've had a chance to work and meet and be friends with a lot of really, really nice people, and they've been so good to me over the course of all of that time. I'm going to miss them.
Oh, I'm sure they're going to miss you, too. And I could speak for fellow horsemen and women, racetrack announcers, and more importantly, guys in OTB betting their $2 and their $4, desperately waiting for the hello. Personally, thank you for letting me in there 30 years ago to watch you call one. And we look forward to talking to you down the line. Never say never, right? You said if some part-time stuff comes open, you're certainly willing to think about it.
Absolutely. I don't want to, I absolutely like to keep myself busy, especially mentally like that. I know I'll be able to get out and keep myself busy physically, but I want to keep myself busy mentally too.
All right. Well, hopefully something comes along. If not, hit them straight and enjoy retirement, my friend. You deserve it.
I appreciate you having me on, and thanks for everything, Anthony.
All right. Thank you, Keith. Keith Jones, recently retired track announcer from Parks. Again, if you grew up in the East Coast and the Northeast, part of the soundtrack of your racetrack life, the one and only Keith Jones. Like all of our guests, Keith will receive some apparel from EmbraceTheRace.com. Embrace your horse racing passion over at EmbraceTheRace.com. We'll take a break and come back, talk to my main man, Steve Haskin, about the three-year-old picture. This is the Equine Forum on HRRN.
Broken Vow, a top 15 lifetime active sire with over 170 black type horses, 90 black type winners, and approaching $80 million in progeny earnings. In 2020, Broken Vow produced Saratoga Springs winner Stan the Man and the Speedy M Primus, winner of the $700,000 turf sprint. Juvenile stakes horses include The Grass is Blue and Chasing Kara. Give your mare a great start with a proven sire. Broken Vow, standing at Pin Oak Stud.
Deep in the heart of horse country, from these Kentucky hills has sprung a legacy rivaled by few. From the all-time greats of yesterday to the breed-shaping bloodlines of today, our roots hold strong with the promise of tomorrow. For over a century, our passion has guided us, to where we stand and everything we stand for. Claiborne Farm. The tradition continues.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence educating and developing industry leaders for over 33 years. Classes are taught by industry experts in the state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
It's time now to shine the spotlight on the Darley Taking the Reins Performer of the Week.
Fair Maiden runs right on by, handwritten at the rail. Merneith is in third, Finite too late. It's Fair Maiden and Ricky Gonzalez to win the La Brea.
Fair Maiden, the daughter of Darley Stallion Street Boss, proved to be anything but a fair fight for her competition as she rolled to a 2 1/4 length win in the Grade 1 La Brea at Santa Anita, making her your Darley Taking the Reins Performer of the Week. Darley Stallion Street Boss is the fastest son of the Great Street Cry, now with 7 career Grade 1 winners, courtesy of Fair Maiden's victory in the Grade 1 La Brea. Fair Maiden was also a stakes winner and Grade 1 placed at 2 in 2019. In 2020, Street Boss produced 7 juvenile stakes horses. Only Into Mischief, Curlin, and Constitution had more this past year. Learn more about Street Boss and all the Darley Stallions by visiting DarleyAmerica.com.
Hi, this is jockey Rajiv Maharaj, and I love listening to my friends on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
They turned into the short stretch, and Hot Rod Charlie keeps moving up on the outside. Hot Rod Charlie moves up to challenge Jackie's Warrior as the field moves off the turn. Essential Quality is still third and still moving at the leaders from the outside. Final furlong of the juvenile. Essential Quality coming forward for the lead. Late run from Keep Me In Mind. Hot Rod Charlie to the inside. Essential Quality and Luis Saez have won the TVG Breeders' Cup Juvenile. 1:42.09.
Our own Kurt Becker on the call of this past year's Breeders' Cup Juvenile. Essential Quality stayed perfect and will likely be the champion two-year-old for 2020 when those Eclipse Awards get tabulated in a couple of weeks. Welcome back to the Equine Forum here on HRRN. I don't know about you, but when you say three-year-olds and you say Derby, I think of our next guest. It's the one and only Steve Haskin, who joins us now. Of course, the author of the Derby Dozen for as long as I can remember. Steve, Happy New Year. Welcome to the Equine Forum.
Thank you, Anthony. Same to you.
What's happening?
How are you doing?
I'm doing well. I'm doing very well. Everything's going great.
By the way, do you realize, I got a little trivia question for you before we start. Do you realize that people know you as the Big A, okay? But do you realize that there have been other sports personalities that have the same kind of name, the Big Something? It's happened a long time ago.
Really? Who's that?
I bet you can't name any of them.
I don't think I know any of them, no.
Where that started from?
I know the Big Ragu from Happy Days. At the New York Post, Hondo originally called me the Big A over at the New York Post. That's where I kind of took it and ran with it way back in 1999, but it was quiet for a while just because I was, as I would like to say, for about 4 or 5 years, I was a stay-at-home son. So...
well,
we didn't have
listen,
much
it's,
for the Big A.
It's a good name, but just to show you the elite company in which you reside, there was a horse in 1965 named Graustark, who was known as the Big G. So that's one in horse racing.
That's pretty good. And I know a lot of people say that he's the best horse they've ever seen.
The Big O, who was Oscar Robertson.
Sure.
And in hockey, we had the Big M, who was Frank Mihaljevic of the Toronto Maple Leafs. So that's the company that you're keeping right now with the Big A.
That's pretty good. What do we call you? Because in this country, if you think Kentucky Derby,
just call me. Call me for dinner. That's all.
At Nove, or King Umberto's. Or Steve's Pickle of Busola. So part of the reason I called yesterday to have you on the air, Thursday night we had a couple of interesting calls on the BrizNet.com call-in show. You can listen to Ed DeRosa and I each and every Thursday from 6 to 7 p.m. Eastern, and we take your calls. Had a couple of callers talking Derby, of course. So that's what we do, right? In this country, when we turn the calendar, we're on the Derby trail. We got the Jerome yesterday. We got the Sham today. And I haven't picked a Derby winner in a very long time. You have. And you know more about the Derby than anyone I know. So I will pose the question to you. And I told these guys I would ask a better authority than myself and Ed DeRosa. When you start to look, and obviously we're 4 months out, I don't expect you to have it, and maybe you do, I don't expect you to have a Derby horse. What do you look for at this stage when these horses are still either maidens or taking the first steps onto the stakes trail? What do you look for in these three-year-olds at this point of their career?
I have to be honest with you. I don't look for the same things now that I did in the past, because the Derby has completely changed. It's not.
And I was going to. That was my next question. The evolution. If again, we just had Keith Jones on. Not to interrupt you. We just had Keith Jones on from Parks about how he saw the game change down there in front of his eyes. This Kentucky Derby has evolved. So maybe incorporate that into your answer, like you were going to do, because that was my follow up question.
Okay. Well, in the past, you always look at pedigree. Okay. You always look, you say, okay, here's a horse who's by a sprinter, out of a dam by a sprinter. He's not going to go a mile and a quarter. He's a speed horse. He needs the lead. In the past, speed horses did not win the Derby. I mean, once in a while, you'd get a Spenderbuck who went out there and blew everybody away, and you got a Winning Colors. And all those horses that won the Derby opened up big length leads early. Even a horse like War Emblem, he was out there by 3 lengths. There were horses that were ignored. They were just faster, and they went out there. Winning Colors just barely lasted. Spenderbuck went off by himself. You just look at these horses, and, War Emblem was completely ignored. Nobody thought he'd go a mile and a quarter on the lead. Okay, so that's the way it was. Those were three examples of what not to look for. What you wanted to look for was, a horse with pedigree, a horse to come from anywhere from mid-pack to the back of the pack, and a horse that had a quick turn of foot. You wanted to see a horse that could really make a move, because the Derby is usually won by the quarter pole. You're not going to find, even in the past, you're not going to find horses that are 5, 6, 7, 8 lengths off the pace at the quarter pole getting up to win the Derby. It rarely, rarely happens. Because you can have a horse that comes from 18th or 19th, a horse like Canyonero. A lot of horses that come from back, but they are there at the quarter pole. So the guy that had that big burst on the turn, you see him flying by horses. That was the Derby up until, I'm going to say, maybe six, seven, eight years ago or so. Now, you take pedigree, throw it out. Because in the past, you wouldn't even look at an Into Mischief out of a Mr. Greeley mare. And Into Mischief, was totally unproven. He was a sprinter, and he was siring horses that basically were sprinters and milers, okay? So dispel that last year, obviously. So forget about pedigree now, because you start looking at these horses, and it's not a question of pedigree anymore, because none of these horses have mile and a quarter pedigrees anymore. Very few of them do. So it's just a question of which horse can carry the speed the farthest. The stamina is gone. Horses coming from 11th, 12th, 16th, 18th, they get up for second a lot, but they don't win. If you look at the last few Derby winners, they're all horses on the lead. You look at Justify, and you look at Always Dreaming, and every single year, you're looking at horses that are right up there on the lead. And not only are they up there on the lead, but they're going in very fast fractions. And you figure they're going to come back, and they don't. You look at Authentic last year, another speed horse who had never proven he could win from off the pace, ever. And they let him go. So I'm totally throwing all of that out now. basically what you have to look for now, if I'm looking for a Derby horse right now, I'm looking for any horse trained by Bob Baffert. Okay. I don't care if he's had one start. I don't care if he's had one 6-furlong race. Listen, at this time last year, nobody heard of Justify. He had never run. Nobody heard of Always Dreaming. Nobody ever heard of these horses because in the past you had the so-called Apollo curse. Well, you had to run as a two-year-old. That's gone. You have lightly raced horses now. Again, I'm going to go back in the past as an old fogey that I am, and I'm going to go back and I'm going to look at horses that ran as a three. They ran, you know, 5-6 times as a three-year-old before they got to the Derby. And every single horse, and you can go look this up, every classic winner, every Derby winner, every champion three-year-old in the 60s, 70s, and 80s started the year off in a sprint. Okay?
That, wow.
And John Neyrud always told me that. Also, he said, you want to sharpen a horse up. And these are horses that have been running in the Champaign, in the Garden State, in the Remsen. Put them in a sprint, sharpen them up. Trainers do not do that anymore because of the point system. Churchill Downs refuses to give any sprints points, so trainers avoid them. So now, all these horses that have stamina horses, that do have horses that want to come from off the pace, they're running in the Kentucky Jockey Club. They're running in the Remsen at 1 1/8. Then they go in the Holy Bull at 1 1/16. Anyways, two turns. They get to the Derby and they're dull because they've never had that sharpener. But you look at every horse. You want to look at all the Triple Crown winners in the 70s. You want to look at all the champions of the 60s, all the Derby winners. They all had a 7-furlong or a 6.5-furlong prep to start off the year. Okay, so that's out of the question. So now that's why one of the reasons why the speed horses are winning, because the come from behind horses are dull by the time they get to the Derby, and they just don't have the speed to match with them. So I'm looking at like Bob Baffert, the favorite in the last future wager. There's a horse that ran once going 6 furlongs, Bob Baffert. He's a favorite in the Derby already. You know, Life Is Good, yep. I'm talking about. And he ran an outrageous Thoroughgraph number. So he's the big Derby. That's the horses we're looking at now. So to answer your question, which I don't know if I've done it or not, you have to look at speed now, where in the past you looked at stamina, and that's how much it's changed.
Yeah, I think that was getting to that, but that's okay. Listen, it's a long-winded question because it's not an easy answer, and I didn't really have a great answer for him. You want to ask me about the Belmont, where I've had some success? You know, the key to the Belmont Stakes is usually in the Kentucky Derby. I watch the Derby replay 20 times before I make a decision about the Belmont. But I know the Belmont. I haven't been that good in the Derby. You know the Derby like the back of your hand. So part of the thing in this game is when you don't know, don't try to fake that you do. Go to the experts. You're the expert. So I went to you, and I don't disagree with you.
I'm going to tell you something about the Belmont that a lot of people might not realize. If you take all the Triple Crown winners, I think every single Triple Crown winner except two won the Belmont wire to wire. And I don't care if they come from behind horses or not.
Yep.
You look at a horse like Whirlaway, who was a stone closer, came from almost dead last to win the Derby. He won the Belmont virtually wire to wire.
And the last two are the only two that didn't have a race at Belmont Park. The other 11 all won at Belmont Park before the Kentucky Derby.
Yeah.
Talking about Steve Hassan.
Again, you know, life, the Derbies has changed. Everything, life in horse racing has changed in a million ways, and so has the Derby, and so has the whole Triple Crown, really.
Yeah. Save money, which has changed the entire world. Save the money. I don't think anything has been more affected by the change and the evolution of this game than the Kentucky Derby. For all of those reasons you just said, you know, it used to be you'd look at the speed, you'd pitch the speed. They were the first throwouts. All right, here's the speed. Forget about the speed. They're going to go. They're going to set the pace, and the closers are going to come running. The mid-pack horses are going to come running. That just doesn't really happen anymore. I got about a minute left in this segment. Do you have a Derby horse right now?
I certainly don't. And to tell you the truth, the Derby horses have not excited me so far. There was a horse that really impressed me, and I'm going to look at him very closely. And it's a horse you wouldn't think. It's a horse that won the Springboard Mile at Remington Park, a horse called Senor Buscador.
That was a good
and
horse.
And I remember when this horse, I remember when the mare was due to foal, because they had a horse several years ago in a Derby at the same dam named Runway Magic. And if you watch this horse, he's like an old-fashioned Derby horse to me. I mean, he lags back, and he just makes a monstrous move on the turn. He did it last. He came from 15 lengths out of it. He won that race by 6.5 lengths. He can blow a horse away in the stretch, and he's got the pedigree. So just remember the name Senor Buscador. He's going to go at Fairgrounds now. Probably look for him in a race like the LeCompte or something like that. But he's the horse I'm looking for. I'm not thrilled by any. You know, central quality looks solid. I'm not going to go with any of the Bob Baffert horses, only because they still have to show them to me. I still got to latch onto something from the past. But those are the horses. Chad Brown has a horse, Reinvestment Risk, who he ran terribly in the Breeders' Cup, but I think he's still a distance horse, and I'm still looking for him to run a big race. And you know, we'll find out more today, because Life Is Good runs today against a really nice horse named Parnelli, John Sheriff says, and he could be a really nice horse. So I'll wait to see how he does.
But see how he handles the two turns today. Steve,
nobody
thanks as always.
Love right now. Cato River looks good. It's just so wide open right now.
All right, well. As we get closer to Derby 147, you can be sure your phone will ring from me. Thanks as always, and we'll talk to you soon.
Take care, Anthony. Big A.
All right, Steve. Steve, one and only. Steve Haskin, like all of our guests, both Keith Jones and Steve Haskin, will receive apparel from Embrace the Race. Embrace your passion over at EmbraceTheRace.com. We'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll talk more three-year-olds. In fact, we'll be calling all three-year-olds. Presented by Spendthrift, Bobby Newman. Has his spot, and then we'll talk from Mike Willman from the Great Race Place. We'll talk about Life Is Good with Mike when we return. This is the Equine Forum on HRRN.
Adina Spring Stallion Mucho Macho Man. Tough, sound, durable. A stakes winner at 3, 4, 5, and 6 who competed in all three Triple Crown races before turning 3 years old and capped a stellar career with a determined victory in the Breeders' Cup Classic over champions Will Take Charge and Declaration of War.
Mucho Macho Man has the lead close to home. Mucho Macho Man, Declaration of War. Will Take Charge, a final man. Mucho Macho Man. He did it over Will Take Charge.
Mucho Macho Man has produced 2 first crop grade 1 winners, one on dirt.
Mucho Gusto in the Pegasus World Cup. He won it by 5 lengths.
And one on turf.
And the California bred Mucho Unusual all the way in the Rodeo Drive.
The number one North American sire by 2020 average earnings per runner is Mucho Macho Man, standing at Adina Springs.
Championship Meet is back at Gulfstream Park now through March 28th with live racing Wednesday through Sunday. Thoroughbred stakes action continues with the Grade 1 $3 million Pegasus World Cup on January 23rd, the Grade 3 Holy Bull January 30th, and much more. Stay in the action from your mobile phone with the First Bet, the official app of Gulfstream Park. On-site viewing is still closed to the public, but you can watch the racing action and get more information at GulfstreamPark.com.
Broken Vow, a top 15 lifetime active sire with over 170 black type horses, 90 black type winners, and approaching $80 million in progeny earnings. In 2020, Broken Vow produced Saratoga Springs winner Stan the Man and the Speedy M. Primus, winner of the $700,000 turf sprint. Juvenile stakes horses include the Grass is Blue and Chasing Kara. Give your mare a great start with a proven sire. Broken Vow, standing at Pin Oak Stud.
Justify, a 4-time Grade 1 winner, Eclipse Champion 3-year-old, Horse of the Year, and the only undefeated Triple Crown winner. By Sire of Sires, Scat Daddy, Justify's first foals sold for up to $600,000 at the recent November sales, while his in-foal mares were led by the 3-time Grade 1 winning daughter of Uncle Mo, Bast, who sold for $4.2 million to Spendthrift Farm. Justify has covered over 80 Grade 1 winners or dams of Grade 1 winners in his first 2 years at Ashford. Call the team at Ashford today to book your mare there while there are still seasons available.
This is Chris Landeros. You're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
A quarter of a mile to go, and here comes Charlatan. And Charlatan with a powerful move on the outside of Nashville. And he has run right by him. Charlatan is back. And he turns it on with an eighth of a mile to go. Express Train moves into second. Nashville dropping out of it, and then Collusion Illusion. What a spectacular return for Charlatan, who will romp in the Run Happy Malibu Stakes by 4.5 emphatic lengths. Express Train was second. Collusion Illusion finished third. The running time, 121.50 seconds.
The voice of the great race place, Frank Miramati, on the call of the Run Happy Malibu. It was all Charlatan. That matchup with Nashville did not materialize. Charlatan rolled, and he's back. Maybe we see him in the Pegasus World Cup Invitational in 3 weeks down at Gulfstream Park. We'll talk to Mike Willman from the great race place in just a few minutes. Welcome back to the Equine Forum. I'm the Big A, Anthony Stabile, filling in for the vacationing Mike Penna. He'll be back next week. We just got done talking three-year-olds with one and only Steve Haskin, and now with the calendar turned to 2021, it's time for the return of a very popular segment from last year. We're calling all three-year-olds. It's presented by Smithriff Farm. Here's Bobby Newman.
They're all in line, and they're off.
Spendthrift Farm presents Calling All Three-Year-Olds with Bobby Newman.
Today is the first Saturday of 2021, and our first of 18 straight weeks taking a closer look at three-year-olds on the Kentucky Derby Trail. But the Road to the Roses doesn't start today. There have already been 16 races with Kentucky Derby qualifying points in the offering, starting with the Grade 3 Iroquois Stakes at Churchill Downs last September. The Brad Cox trainee, Essential Quality, is the division leader right now. He's undefeated in three lifetime starts, including decisive wins in the Grade 1 Breeders' Futurity and Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Juvenile at Keeneland last fall. He earned 10 and 20 Derby points respectively for those wins, and his total of 30 puts him on top of the division for now. Keep Me in Mind sits second with 18 points, followed closely by Jackie's Warrior and Spielberg with 12 apiece. Last year, the impressive Into Mischief colt Authentic came off a maiden win at Del Mar to romp in the Sham Stakes at Santa Anita on his way to eventually winning the Kentucky Derby. Can history repeat itself? Well, it's too early to know, but trainer Bob Baffert has another son of Into Mischief named Life is Good, and he's very talented. Like Authentic, Life is Good was impressive in his maiden win at Del Mar and should be heavily favored to remain unbeaten when he faces four other rivals in today's renewal of the Grade 3 Sham. His stablemate, Medina Spirit, is also coming off an impressive maiden win and may be the main threat to the favorite. Wasperant, Parnelli, and Uncle Boogie round out the field, and although they don't seem as flashy as the Baffert trainees, they all have previous route or stakes experience. I'll be back with this week's top five list right after this word from Spendthrift.
Malibu Moon, the sire of 17 Grade 1 winners on dirt, second in the world only to Tappet among active sires. Malibu Moon's progeny have won as many or more of America's most celebrated dirt races as any active sire, especially for three-year-old colts, including the Kentucky Derby, Florida Derby, Santa Anita Derby, and Arkansas Derby, among others. A living legend, Malibu Moon, AP Indy's best sire, standing at Spendthrift Farm.
This week's top five list of Derby contenders looks like this. Number one is Essential Quality. He's undefeated, the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Champion, current points leader, and wintering at Fairgrounds. No idea yet where he's going to make his three-year-old debut. Number two, Life is Good, an impressive maiden winner at Del Mar in his lone start. He should be the heavy favorite in today's Grade 3 Sham at Santa Anita. Number three, Senor Buscador, undefeated in two starts, coming off an eye-catching win at Highland Park. He may run in the LeCompte at Fairgrounds next on January 16th. Number four is Mandaloon, another one who's undefeated. He's 2-for-2, a son of Into Mischief, and he's also pointing toward the LeCompte on January 16th. Number five, Jackie's Warrior, super impressive before disappointing in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile last year. Possibly taking the Oaklawn Park path, we'll see if Jackie's Warrior really wants to go the mile and a quarter. That's your Calling All Three-Year-Old segment presented by Spendthrift, the Breeders' Farm.
All right. Thanks to Bobby Newman for calling all 3 year-olds, presented by Spindthrift Farm. Be curious to see how that evolves 4 weeks away. 4 months away. 4 weeks. Getting ahead of yourself, Big A. 4 months away to Kentucky Derby 147. And they will run the sham today. First step in 2021 on the road to the Kentucky Derby in Louisville, out in Southern California at the Great Race Place. And Mike Willman from Santa Anita joins us now. Good morning, Mike. Thanks for waking up super early to join us here on the Equine Forum.
It's a pleasure to be here. It's not that early. And Happy New Year to everybody.
Yeah, Happy New Year to you as well. You're a better man than me. 6:45 is a little too it's the time I woke up this morning. But I only do that for the Equine Forum or Saratoga at this point. I have my priorities. My priorities are in order. Fantastic, Mike, opening weekend. You guys got to be thrilled out there at the Great Race Place.
Yeah, we really are. It's just been very, very gratifying, especially in view of everything that's gone down the last couple of years. We've had good field size, and boy, the people have really responded. We set an all-time opening day record for handle, on Friday with over 23 million on 11 races. And yesterday, we handled 11 million on 9 races, which was, year to year, we were just 700,000 off what we handled with one more race a year ago. So the weather's good. Everything's set. As you said, we've got a Derby prep here today on January 2nd. It's the sham. And, it just looks like Baffert is going to be extremely tough with Life is Good, who was so impressive. First time out, but Parnelli's interesting for John Sheriff. He hasn't done anything wrong either. He's got the benefit of 3 consecutive miles under his belt, and he just aired last time out. So, going to be interesting. I got to believe Life is Good is the speed, and this guy Baffert, we know how incredibly tough he is in any situation.
I would imagine, and you all do, namely yourself, do an amazing job promoting the product at the Great Race Place. And now things are a little different without the fans. But in an ordinary year, when the fans are out and about at Santa Anita, having a cornerstone like Bob Baffert's barn there, knowing, he's going to have a horse in every one of these prep races. I don't want to say it got to make your job easier, but it's almost got to be a pleasure to know that, the name, when it comes to trainers, the name that's synonymous with the world's most famous race, calls your backyard home.
Well, there's no question. It's a big plus. I will say at times it can be a bit of a double-edged sword over the years. We've seen Baffert, just shipping out of here left and right. And I've gotten tired of writing Santa Anita base this, Santa Anita base so and so, when they're winning at Oaklawn Park, when they're winning at Keeneland, and so on. But he's keeping his big guns separated in many cases, and he's had a lot of luck, as going through that Oaklawn program there on the road to the first Saturday in May, and this year, of course, it was the first Saturday in September. And another thing, a bit of a caveat with Baffert, is that it tends to, his presence tends to kind of, serve as a mitigating factor in terms of other people thinking about shipping out. A witness, Steve Asmussen with Nashville on opening day in the Malibu. Horse who was the talk of the racing world, set a track record and an ungraded stake, on a Breeders' Cup Classic day there at Keeneland, came out here, went favored, and just got drilled. Charlatan tracked him to the far turn. I'm off topic a little bit right now as far as Derby
That's okay.
horses go, but the point is Baffert is so strong that, we'd like to see more outfits shipping in for what we think are very, very good opportunities, but I think some guys look at the Baffert factor and say, I think I'll pass.
Yeah, you see that a lot, at different I think you see it with different trainers in different places. You know, I think you hear it a lot with Chad Brown on the turf here in New York, and a lot of guys don't like to run against Todd Pletcher at Gulfstream in the winter. I think it's a bunch of hullabaloo. That's just me. I think if you got your horse, you run them, and you guys have a great program out there. With that said, you know, Baffert keeps unveiling these horses of a lifetime. And
yeah.
They come around every 2 years, it seems like. This horse, you know, and I'm not one. I've gotten fat, literally and figuratively, off my man Steve Dudenaw betting against Baffert in some of these derbies as of late. This horse has just a little bit of a different look to him. Like, that maiden race, he looked like he could really be any kind. Life is good.
I mean, no doubt about it. Mike Smith indicated as much after the race, and the film doesn't lie. Anybody wants to look at it, November 22, the second race at Del Mar, and, I mean, it was over real early. You know, he just marched and did it. It appeared to be well within himself. So, you know, we'll wait and see, but he's 2-5 on a morning line, and I would say that's probably about right, you know, and going to be interesting to see how Parnelli fares. I think he's a nice horse, and Sheriff's has got another one in there as well, in West Spirit, son of Union Rags, who, you know, he's no slouch, broke his maiden second time out, then was well beaten here, going a mile and a 16th in a Grade One American Pharaoh, but Parnelli will be the shorter price among those two. So, anyway, there's not much else to say other than, you know, let's face it, Anthony, it's really not a good betting race. I mean, you're going to single Life is Good. I think a lot of people are in the tricks. But it's a race that is compelling from a – you want to see it, and you want to see what it means in terms of moving down the road to Churchill for the run for the Roses.
You're my kind of guy. I think I've been through you one other time. But so far you've been – quite, you've been upfront about it not being a good betting race, and then you call the gimmicks the tricks. Love it. That's as old school. That's as old school as you get. The San Gabriel came up a pretty good race right before the Sham. Looking forward to that. And you guys got a lot of good stuff going on. You know, you mentioned this when we started the interview. After everything that's gone on the last 2 years, provided all stays well, you guys got to be really looking forward to trying to have a quote unquote normal year out there in 2021.
Oh, wow. On so many levels, resounding yes. That's right. And another thing that's smiling on us right now is the weather, man. I mean, I'm looking at the extended forecast. We did have the prospect of some weather late next week, and now that appears to be gone. I noticed they do have it up north, prospect of weather. So things seem to be aligned, and along with that, I mentioned up north, Golden Gate's misfortune right now is working to our benefit, although not as much as it was with Los Alamitos and the Del Mar Fall Meet. Golden Gate's in a very awkward position. They are on hold due to this COVID situation. They are at the mercy of the Berkeley Department of Public Health. And I have to be careful what I say, but when you say Berkeley anything, you know what we're talking about in
terms
of politics.
You can leave it at that.
Yeah. Well, some people call it the People's Republic, so I went a little too far. But we're hoping that they can get back up because you've got horses in training. There's a condition book out, but there's no dates. It's just day one, day two, day three. Everything is in limbo.
Yeah,
you've got Turf Paradise opening up on Monday over here in Phoenix, and Golden Gate is they've got to get an okay to get back running. We're seeing a lot of horses come down here, but the people can't come with them. In other words, you can't even send a groom with a horse. The horses come in and they just go to a barn, and they're handled by different people.
Yeah, that's tough. It's tough to ask. It's tough to ask owners and trainers to do that. Mike, thanks for the time this morning. Keep it going out there. Everything's been great so far, and look forward to talking to you down the road.
Yeah, I like, by the way, I like Count Again with Juan Hernandez in the San Gabriel. Big scoop there. He's a 2-1 morning line favorite. He's one of four horses coming out of the Grade 2 Seabiscuit. He won it from off the pace, and Juan Hernandez serving notice that he might be in the running for leading rider honors here. He's really good.
Just so you know, before you head to the windows, he's got another 400 pounds on his back because I like him too. Good luck.
All the best, Anthony. Happy New Year.
Good luck. You too, Mike. Thanks for some time. Mike Willman from The Great Race Place. We'll take one more break. We'll come back and wrap this first edition of 2021 of the Equine Forum here on HRRN.
Gainsway Stallion Caraconti is off to a strong start at stud. A leading sire amongst his crop by percentage of stakes horses, top runners by Caraconti include graded stakes winners Kenzai Warrior.
But Kenzai Warrior is sticking his head down and getting up. Kenzai Warrior wins the Horace Hill.
Sole Volante.
On the outside, Sole Volante runs by the leader. It's Sole Volante in front and going away.
Two-year-old stakes winner Spanish Love Affair.
16th to go, Spanish Love Affair almost home. Spanish Love Affair lives up to the hype and wins it 1-2.
And dual surface dynamo, Princess Grace.
16th to go, Princess Grace still in front. Pasta Plate is trying hard, but she's second to Princess Grace, streaking under the wire, the three-length winner.
A rising star with greatest stakes winners on both dirt and turf, Caraconti, standing at Gainsway.
Woodford Feed, where tradition merges with technology. Family-owned since 1940 and providing exceptional customer service, Woodford Feed specializes in the highest quality feed, using only the finest ingredients to ensure optimal nutrition for your horses. In addition, Woodford Feed can help with all your farm needs, including field seed, fertilizer, and weed control. So whether your horse is sprinting around the racetrack or has a foal by her side, count on Woodford Feed to provide the quality nutrition necessary to perform at the highest level. Woodford Feed, Versailles, Kentucky.
Racing fans, Santa Anita Park wishes you and yours a happy, healthy new year. And although there is still no public admittance, you can watch every Santa Anita race free of charge at santaanita.com/live, and you can watch and wager at First Bet. That's first.com/bet. This Saturday, we'll start down the road to the Kentucky Derby as three-year-olds go a flat mile in the Grade 3 Sham Stakes. Named for the winner of the 1973 Santa Anita Derby, the Sham will provide the winner with 10 Kentucky Derby qualifying points. Also on Saturday, older horses will go a mile and one-eighth on turf in the Grade 2 $200,000 San Gabriel. On Sunday, three-year-old fillies will go 7 furlongs in the Grade 2 Santa Inez Stakes. With first post time over the weekend at 12:30, tune in early as track announcer Frank Miramati and Tom Quigley will handicap all of the races beginning at 11:20 a.m. For additional information, please visit santaanita.com.
I'm Robert Wilkie, Secretary of the Department of Veterans Affairs. 155 years ago, President Lincoln called upon us to care for America's veterans. Today, you can help answer that call. We are looking for physicians, nurses, and other medical professionals to help protect veterans from the coronavirus. Go to va.gov/joinus or text VA Physician or VA Nurse to 97211.
This is Bob Baffert, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Welcome back. I want to remind you, if you need to read up on any and all thoroughbred racing information, head over to bloodhorse.com. The special Blood Horse Best of 2020 digital issue features 15 stories and incredible photographs, and it is the Blood Horse's free gift to you. Special issues available to everyone free of charge at magazine.bloodhorse.com or through the Blood Horse Magazine tablet app. It's a 120-page digital issue. You can read it now at magazine.bloodhorse.com, and while you're there, download a copy of the January 2nd issue from that app. Don't miss their special going on right now. It includes a free 2021 Blood Horse calendar. Go to bloodhorse.com/winter special. Thanks to all of our guests this morning. Billy Badgett, Naja Thompson, Keith Jones, Steve Haskin, and Mike Willman. They'll all receive a power from EmbraceTheRace.com. Embrace your passion over at EmbraceTheRace.com. A quick check on the poll question this morning. Will Bob Baffert, or one of his trainees, to be exact, win the Kentucky Derby on May 1st? 56.5% say no. 43.5% say yes. So find out today if life is good as the goods in the Sham at the Great Race Place. That wraps it up for the first edition of the Equine Forum of 2021. For Lee Delapina, I'm the Big A, Anthony Stabile. I hope you have a lucky weekend. I hope you win all your photo finishes. We'll talk to you Wednesday on race day.